Let's pray. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my sins away, and let me from this day be wholly thine. Amen. God asks us four things. God asks us to surrender our whole lives and all that we are and all that we have or ever hope to be to him. And yet he gives us something far more wonderful in return. Jesus speaks of it here as living water, and he said to that lady on that day, and he says to us still today by his resurrection power, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink of water, he would have given you living water. You know, most of us have heard that old expression about having an albatross around your neck. Do you know that that saying comes from a poem that was written way back in 1798? A British poem, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And the story of the poem is about a fishing vessel that was aboard the high seas in one of the southernmost parts of the ocean here on Earth, not really that far from Antarctica. The fishing vessel was making its way with crew through those high seas when all of a sudden there appears out of nowhere an albatross. And an albatross is still the largest of all flying birds extant in the world today. It was considered in that ancient world a symbol of good luck. And there they are going across the seas, albatross gliding and following along so elegantly it seemed, and then something totally senseless happens. There's an old sailor who's aboard that ship, the Ancient Mariner, who picks up his crossbow and shoots the albatross and kills it. You know, somewhat reminiscent of what happens in the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. Sometime later, the seas become extremely rough and choppy. They're in the midst of a terrible storm, and those aboard the ship demise that this must be some form of divine retribution upon that ship because of what the Ancient Mariner had done in senselessly slaughtering that beautiful bird. You know, as a way of reminding him of his guilt, as a way of trying to fix all of the blame on him, they tie that albatross around his neck, that stinking, rotting carcass of a bird. You know, have you ever noticed that when something goes wrong in life, that it's human nature for us to look for someone to blame? And a lot of the times, if you're conscientious as a person, you may place all the blame upon yourself. You know, that can be healthy to a degree if it leads us to repentance as we live in the power of our baptism day by day. You remember what Luther said in the Small Catechism about baptism. It signifies that every day the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned, and a new man come before God to live with him in righteousness and purity forever, forgiven of all of our sins. Do you have the joy of the Lord today? That's a question that these texts confronted me with as I was wrestling through them again this past week. Or am I allowing other people to needlessly hang albatrosses around my neck? And you know, when that happens, I can also be very, very guilty at times of trying to hang albatrosses around the necks of other people. But isn't that what that wondrous love is all about that we just sang about so amazingly? That there's one who came to earth, the Son of God himself, incarnate in human form. He says, it's never been the intention of my heavenly Father that you should live that way. I want to take away from you all of the burden of your guilt, and I want to do it to such a large and magnanimous degree that you will then stop judging others who are around you, to stop trying to make other people feel guilty and hanging the albatross also around their neck. You know, Jesus said, yes, I'm thirsty. I'd like a drink of water, please. But if you knew who it was that's sitting here next to you asking for a drink of water, you would have asked him for the gift of living water, and he would have given it to you. And so basic Christianity 101, that's what I'm talking about this morning. I believe, you believe, that of all the gifts that the Lord God has to give us, the greatest is the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. You know, that's one prayer. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about prayer, he said one day that God will always answer with a yes. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We should continually cry out to the Holy Trinity, come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's heart and mind. You know, your fervent love to them impart. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in that second lesson today? You know, by nature, we all have a tendency to think that we're simply living in a physical world that's only full of physical realities. But, you know, Jesus, when he's speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria there in Sychar, Jacob's well, he's speaking on one level and she's understanding on another level. There's a point in that poem of the Rime of the Ancient Mariner that's probably the most often quoted line, where the mariner says, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. He's talking about the fact that they all were thirsty and yet there was nothing but salt water. And the trouble with salt water is the more you drink, the more it makes you thirsty and it eventually will kill you. And Jesus teaches us several places throughout his ministry that the same thing can happen to us when we're addicted to trying to find the ultimate meaning and sense of purpose in life and joy and happiness in the things of this world. When we listen to the invitation of the advertisers and say, if I only had this, if I only had that, if I only had this, and then foolishly seek to acquire all the things of this world that we might for ourselves, but there is missing in that approach to life a sense of holy joy, a sense of divine contentment. Am I foolishly allowing other people to hang albatrosses around my neck this morning? Are you foolishly allowing other people to hang albatrosses around your neck this morning when Christ, the Son of the living God, came to assume the burden for all of our sins? The one who was totally without sin, who then offered his life as a perfect sacrifice unto death on a cross, and joy of all joys, 3 days later, the Father raised him from the dead to assure us that he accepted the sacrifice that Christ made. And so isn't it appropriate that again today, that in response to these lessons, we pray that prayer of the hymn writer, if we mean it, and we can say it in holy faith. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray. Take all my sins away and let me from this day be wholly thine. You see, that it was so amazing because this woman, who probably had not the greatest of all reputations, it's why she, rather than the other women in the village who would go and fetch the water for the household needs early in the morning when the sun was just first starting to come up before the temperatures got too hot and severe, too often when she had gone in the morning, she had been the topic of everybody else's conversation who were trying to hang those albatrosses around her neck. And so she decided, maybe I'll just go at noon. And it says, you know, that her meeting with Jesus was no chance meeting. In verse 4 of John 4, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go there very purposely because he wanted to give this woman that wonderful gift of living water. Jesus knew everything there was to know about her. Go and call your husband. I have no husband. You're right, Jesus said. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. You're living together outside of the blessing of holy marriage. And there's nothing about you this morning. There's nothing about me this morning that would stop the risen Savior who promises always to be present among his people when gathered around the Holy Word and the sacrament. He taps each of us on the shoulder today and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink of water, you would have asked him. He would have given you the complete forgiveness of all of your sins. He would have given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He would have given you the sure hope and the blessed gift of eternal life, so that we can say with St. Paul, I know on whom I believed, and I'm certain that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him that till that day. It's what the second lesson Richard read was all about. Therefore, being justified by faith, we're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through that justifying faith that we've received access into this grace in which we stand. And what does that mean? Moreover, even when we suffer loss and grief and pain and hardship, we know God's not to blame. We live in a fallen world that's estranged from him. And when a loved one dies, we can still be gathered together in the house of the Lord and sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Let all who hear now to his temple draw near. Moreover, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And once again this day, you will. You will. You will receive rest for your souls. That's the joy of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.